Stand Christian, greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I've been encouraged as we've gone through this worship service and from the devotions to the Sunday school, it's been good for me to ponder and to think about. Thank you, Brother Nelson, for those opening thoughts as we think about how God knows everything. And it's going to tie into some to what my message is this morning. And I make no apologies for it. It's a good springboard for what I have to share. If you've been doing any traveling that you would have been following me around, you know that I have preached this message before, but I do not know that I've ever preached it at home, as far as I know. So I make no apologies for it. If you hear some illustration that maybe has been used before, again, I apologize, but I trust the thought will still come through on it. This was at the district meetings that was out at Mount Joy in the Western District. I was giving this assignment: every thought to the obedience of God, of Christ. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so I want to share that with us this morning. Can anybody see what this is? We all know what it is, right? It's a penny. Well, we know today it's not worth much, but you give it to a child, they'd probably enjoy it. Us adults, probably, we can't even buy a piece of candy with it anymore. But I grew up, and we had this saying, when we saw somebody deep in thought, penny for your thoughts. And so I'm here this morning, I'm wanting to a volunteer of someone to come up here and to take this penny and to stand here and share their thoughts. Anybody volunteering for this? Nobody's volunteering. You're thinking something. Your mind goes. You can't stop it. Even when you're sleeping, your mind's going. Because you're dreaming. You can't stop it. You could maybe try to direct it when you're sleeping, you know, is the saying, count sheep, you know? And when you're trying to go to sleep, and next thing you know, you're sleeping because you directed it, you're not letting it run wild. Well, no volunteers. So let's up this a little bit. We used to say sometimes a dime to mind your own. I have 10 cents. Still no volunteers? Quarter? Now we're starting to get in a quarter. You can buy a little bit something with this. So let's go. Let's go with the thoughts you had all morning long. Let's say if you stand up here and you share what you've thought all morning long. Would you do it for it? For 25 cents? Well, the point is this. We don't like to share our thoughts. There's times when we think things that we wouldn't mind sharing them. It's nothing that's bad. But I want you to think about this week. What all did you think about? If those thoughts were wrote on this wall up here, would you be embarrassed about them? We all have thoughts. We think things. We can't stop that. But our thoughts are something that others can't see. It's within us. We can share them. I could have you come up here and share them if you would be willing to do that. But there's times when our thoughts, what we're thinking, comes out in emotions, comes out into outward expression, and then we say, well, I can pretty much see what you're thinking. But we still don't necessarily know their thoughts. We see their emotions. We see that. Thoughts are something that usually accompanies every waking moment. Well, maybe let's think about it this way. Shut your thoughts off. Stop thinking about anything. Just try it. Just stop thinking about anything. Well, right now you're probably thinking about stopping your thoughts. It just don't work. You can't shut it off. Well, our title here, taken from 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. So you can turn over to 2 Corinthians 10. We know we all have thoughts. We know we can't get away from having thoughts. But our title says, every thought to the obedience of Christ. And so we can take our thoughts, the same as when you're going, trying to go to sleep and your mind wants to go, you can control your thoughts, you can direct where they go, whether it's counting sheep or whether it's praying, which works equally as well, I believe, if you need to sleep. But you can control it. Well, we have bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ, and so we're going to control our thoughts. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's start reading at verse 1. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he says this, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So we have this verse here. Paul is calling the Corinthians to take their thoughts and bring it into captivity, into obedience to Christ. What does obedience look like to you? We're switching from thoughts, but I want to switch and just think just a little bit at this word in this title. What does obedience look like to you? Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. But then you never do it. Is that obedience? What does obedience look like to you? Matthew 8, I want to read a couple verses. You don't have to turn to it. There's a centurion that came to Jesus, and he said these words. And I want you to think about it. It's mostly in verse 9 I want to think about, but verse 5, "And when Jesus was entering Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." I want you to think about what this centurion classed as obedience. Verse 9, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." You see what obedience is? It's doing what we say. It's doing what is asked of us. When that servant wouldn't do that for that centurion, I don't know if he would have came to Jesus and would have quite had the faith that he did in asking. But he had servants that obeyed him. That's what obedience looked like to the centurion. That's what it should look like to us today. Well, I thought about also of Christ. What does obedience look like to me? And I thought about the obedience of Christ. And Philippians 2, verse 7, 8 says about Jesus, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, where did Jesus learn it? And my mind was drawn to Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. I just read a verse there. Jesus was there at the temple. And he was talking to those teachers, those high people there at the temple. And parents said, "What are you doing to us? Why didn't you follow us home?" And verse 49, he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Don't you understand, as a 12-year-old, this just seems like the right thing to do, to be here, to be talking with these people. Okay, I'm starting to put some of this in my own words, but you see where I'm going. Jesus at 12 years old is there talking to those people, those scholars at the temple. But his parents didn't understand, and they wanted him to come home with them. And verse 51 says this, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." In other words, obedient unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. You see the obedience of Jesus? At that point in time of his life, it was important that he was obedient to his parents. That's what obedience looked like. And that's what it looks should look like for us today too. When we say we're going to do something, we do it. When there's something asked of us, we do it. And I'm going to read that Philippians 2, verse 7 and 8 now. "But he made himself of no reputation," that's Jesus, "and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Well, Jesus learned obedience, and he was obedient. Now, what's one thing that works against obedience? I have one thing. That is pride. You read in Philippians 2, "Made himself of no reputation." Jesus humbled himself. He had no pride in his life. He was willing to come from heaven and come as a little baby, live on this earth, and be obedient and go to the cross and give his life for your sins and my sins. He did not have pride within him. Pride will work against obedience. Pride says, "I know I don't need God." It looks at self. So as we ponder this, every thought to the obedience of Christ, what must we have to live and maintain a life with every thought to the obedience of Christ? What is some things there? And I have three things I have wrote down here. The first one I have is we must have a new birth experience. A new birth experience. A change on the inside. A change that wants to change our thought life. And when that new birth is, it doesn't mean that the old is not striving for the same, for a spot in our thought life, but we have a new master, we have a new person we're serving. We're no longer serving self, we're no longer serving Satan, the old nature within us. We're serving Christ and that new birth experience. And with that comes a power for victory in our thought life. And he will not lead you and I astray. Every thought to the obedience of Christ, we must have the new birth experience. We must be cleansed from the inside. The second one I have, we must have a sorrow for sin. And 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10 says, I believe your Bibles are probably still there in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Not to be repented of, for the sorrow of the world worketh death." Sorrow for sin, repentance, sincere regret or remorse for where we have been, what the old nature has put within us. We will be living a life in repentance. We cannot be victorious if we are living lives with a love for our sin. Sorrow for the sins we were born with, the sin nature, and that old nature that we work with every day. Sorrow for the sins that we have committed, no longer a love for them. We must have sorrow for sin. You know, our thought life is one of those things where you can go back and you can ponder and you say, "Well, nobody knows. Listen, if you don't have true sorrow for sin and you go and feed your thought life on the old nature, on the sins that have been committed in the past, you will struggle to gain any victory. And you will not have every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, the third one I have, how can we hold every thought to the obedience of Christ? We must have a relationship with Christ. How do we have a relationship? You know, a one-sided relationship. God is there. He's willing to have a relationship with us. But many times, maybe I talk too much about what I struggle with, but there's times where you can cram out in your schedule time with God, time to communicate with Him. We must have a relationship with Him, and to have a relationship needs communication. And how do we communicate with God? Well, it's simple. We read His Word and He speaks to us. That's His talking to us. We let Him speak. Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. His Word is coming in and it's washing us, it's filling us, cleaning us. Having that relationship. Now, if we always have a relationship where we just wait for God to talk to us, but we never talk to Him, He don't want that either. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, as pray without ceasing. That's your talking, me and I talking back, talking to God. It's our communication linked to Christ. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything that we've thought in this past week, right now. In the past year, He knows it. Since you were born, He knows it. You can't hide your thoughts from God. He knows all about it. But He wants you to come in prayer and share it with Him. Where are you at in life? What's your thoughts? Control your thought life. Always in the spirit of prayer. Now, for the next part of the message. How can we bring every thought to the obedience of Christ? What does Christ want for my thought life to be? I'm going to turn to those familiar verses in Philippians 4. Again, these are verses that we're very familiar with, and I don't want to wear us out, and because I know we pull many times from these verses, refer to them many times, but I want to go here this morning and just think about these, and I've only pulled five of them out of here. There's more that we could, but I only pulled five. There's a test here if our thoughts are in obedience of Christ. Finally, brethren, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, gracious. What is your thought life like? The first one I have, they must be true. Our brain receives and processes a lot of information in a day. And our brain, as it processes it, it's a thought that is there. It's processing things it has from our five senses. Brain's receiving it, storing, filing, doing all that. A lot of times without you even thinking about it. It's just there working. They're doing that. Well, I don't have to tell you that all that you hear today is not true or is I don't have to tell you that everything that you hear today is not true. You know that, I believe. We live in a world, you can't hardly read the news and start questioning whether it's true or not. It's just the way it is. There's so much about us. We have this technology. We receive information at enormous rates. Our technology doubles that. Your mind has to process all that. We work it hard. It's so easy to feed wrong thoughts into it. It's so easy to feed something in it that's untruth. I was talking to a brother about preparing a message one time and wondered about, you know, I've heard some messages as well, but pulling any thoughts for a message off the internet, I'm scared to do it. There's so much untruth out there. Even to get facts, what's true? I mean, you can get a lot of statistics out there, but is it right? I'm not saying it's wrong to go and look at some of that. But our technology has made it that information available more to us than what it has been in the past. And has it helped us? Sometimes think we overload our minds and our brain in trying to sort out what's true and what isn't. Well, let's go on to maybe a little bit closer home. I know a point in time in my life where Satan gave, as a young Christian, had failure in my life, tripped up a little bit. Satan likes to plant that. You're no good. You're not a Christian. Remember dealing with that. There's so many promises in the Bible, and I had to go claim them for myself. But if I didn't have the truth to deal with it, discouragement would have set in. There have been many others, and it did to a certain extent. But we have truth. We have what is true before us, and that is the Bible. Remember I said in that first part, we must have a relationship with Him and read His Word. It is the truth that we need to wash our thought life to help us to be in obedience to Christ. A quote, and again, it's a quote that I've heard other people use. If you tell yourself something often enough, you will believe it even if it's true or not. It's a pretty serious quote, but it's so true. Let's go to the second one. Honest is the second one I've pulled out of it. Honest. We live in a world that is anything but has a lot of people that are not honest. Our devotions this morning maybe touched a little bit on that. We think of someone that's willing to tell the untruth, be dishonest about it. There's people doing it in business life, and it's not honorable at all. As people of God, we cannot go to that. Provide things honest. Well, that also comes down to maybe closer home is tying into that part I thought about in the first one there on true, the untruth that Satan likes to bring. Maybe it's that thought, being honest with ourselves, and when Satan likes to say, in discouragement, I'm worthless. No, you're not worthless. God created you for something. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. God created you for a purpose. And oftentimes these thoughts come to us because we have pride in our life, and God hates pride. And so we need to look at that. As I pondered this honest, does God write people off as no good? Mm-mm. God doesn't write people off as no good. And He does not write you that way off either. The call is to whosoever will can come to Him, and He will wash them clean. this point on honest, I'm leaning pretty hard on the negative thought pattern that can come with it. I want you to think about this as I think about this point of being honest. Negative thought patterns become a habit that you will find hard to break. I don't care if it's negative thought patterns about someone else, other people. I don't care if it's negative thought patterns about yourself. Negative thought patterns become a habit, and habits are formed so subtly and so easily you can form a habit. And that negative thought patterns, you'll find that a hard one to break because it's in your mind, it's a thought, and you feed too long on it. You may need help to break it. It's not a negative thought pattern is not in obedience to Christ. Christ looked out, he saw the best in others, and he willingly gave himself. Be honest with yourself and where you're at. The third one I have as we think about every thought to the obedience of Christ, and that is pure. Impure thoughts are going to, in your thoughts, impure thoughts will work against you being in tune with God. You cannot be in tune with God when you have impure thoughts. I was reading through Proverbs. The Proverb writer has much to say about the young man and harlots. And it's going to destroy him. Has much to say about that harlot that was following after and trying to catch the young man's attention. It fits over here too. Pure thoughts say, well, I want where God wants me in life. I want to be where God wants me, and I want to have pure thoughts, things that are pure, that is going through my mind. God is expecting that of us. Now there's times when Satan plants impure thoughts in our lives, but again, you make the choice of what you're going to feed on in your thought life. Think of me as Joseph in the Bible. We're not going to turn there. But that young man, Joseph, when Potiphar came in and was trying to force it, and day after day, that temptation was there if you read that account. And he was withstanding it, and then she tried to force him, and he ran out. How can I do this? And sin against God, and he left everything and ran out. You don't think Joseph was a man that had thoughts like any other young men today? I believe so. But he controlled his thought life. He was serving God, and he added his thought life in obedience to Christ. And he's going to think on pure things. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He had every thought to the obedience of Christ. Today we too can. But it's going to take a deliberate effort to control our thought life and to be in touch with Christ. Well, let's go to the next one. Lovely. And I pulled for my thoughts for this, and I took from our 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. As we read verses 1 through 5, Paul is there. And he's facing these Corinthians, and there's some things that are hard, and he's been pushed down, and he has the authority to level the score, so to speak. He could just come in and level it. He's bold in letter. He can write a strong letter. And he's saying, you know, he's going to be bold when he comes in person too. But he's going to in verse 5. He's going to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If Paul didn't control his thought life and wasn't thinking things that are lovely for these Corinthians, he was going to do things. His actions were going to be anything but God-honoring. And so we have lovely. Was there things about the Corinthians, some of these people that he felt was not lovely? Yeah. But he's going to control it. Because this warfare is not with these people. It's the warfare is not a carnal warfare, but it's a battle of casting down strongholds and the mind and the thought life, and Satan is in control. And so if Paul had left negative thoughts stay in his thought life, he would have struggled to respond rightly to these Corinthians. We probably all have heard someone say, "I just couldn't help myself. I just couldn't help myself. I lashed out in anger at someone. I just couldn't help it." Really? The challenge I have for myself and for I want to leave with you: when we respond wrongly, has our thought life been where controlled like it should have been? Let's go to the last one yet. Good report. Gracious and good report. What is feeding your thought life? We control what is in our thought life. And we control whether this is a good report, whether it's something that we should be thinking about, or whether it's something we should not be thinking about. And Satan likes to plant it in our minds that it looks like a right thing to think about because I was wronged, or you put it there. It's the right thing to think about. I ask you again, what is feeding your thought life? We've looked at this list. True? Is it something that's true? Is it something that's honest? Is it pure? Is it lovely? But is it feeding your thought life? Is it good report? Is it going to help anything in life with anyone? And yes, in this and here, oftentimes we say, well, we can easily start feeding the gossip train. It must be good report because I can go share it with somebody and they enjoy hearing about it. Does that make it something of good report? Is it something that's going to build somebody up? No. Let's think about it. What is a good report? And that is things that are thought lives when Christ is centered in your life and you have brought it in prayer to Christ and you have that relationship with Him. Think of that song. You've probably heard me preach enough times and use the Miller Four. And I've enjoyed their songs, some of their songs and their deep thought they have with it. But I ever think about that one: "You can talk about me anytime you want to, but please do it on your knees. You can tell the Lord all the things I've done that didn't seem right to you. But don't tell your neighbor because he can never give you the grace to see me through. You can tell him all about how weak I am and pray that you strengthen me. You can talk about me anytime you want to, but please do it on your knees." Now think about that in those words of that song. When you think about good report, before you pass something on, before you dwell on something in your thought life, is it good? Is it something that's going to control my thought life and help me to serve Christ better? We cannot control what thoughts enter your mind, our mind, but we can control what thoughts we entertain. Remember, you can't shut your thoughts off. You just can't do it. But we need to take full responsibility for our thoughts. James Dobson said this, "Pray that I will not entertain one wayward thought." We need to pray that prayer some more. At least I do. One wayward thought. I want every thought to be what God honoring. I want every thought to be something in obedience to Christ. We must take control of our thoughts. Closing, Isaiah 55, verse 7. Turn your Bibles to that. I want to read these verses as a closing thought. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7. Very familiar verse. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." You know, if we are someone that is dwelling on the wrong thoughts, if our thoughts are not in obedience to Christ, we have this promise here. Forsake his way. Forsake those wrong thoughts. Our God will be there to pick us up and to help us to fill our minds with thoughts that are pleasing to him. Let's kneel for prayer.